listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Las Vegas. We have an action-packed hour for you on Thursday. What are we talking about? We're talking about Kyler Murray's height, his weight, his hand size. Anything else, Fez, you think?
I think
that interests you?
Nothing's off the table, RJ.
Well, for me as host, things are off the table. That's the Fezzik with us. Also, Brad Powers, sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. You know, Fez, I mean, your confidence in your masculinity.
I love Jimmy G.
I mean, it really is impressive, I must say. Also, we're going to be discussing Bryce Harper and that contract. Wowza, we know he's good. How good does Vegas think he is? But you can't have pros without Joes. He is Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And we start in Major League Baseball, where, as you just mentioned, the Bryce Harper sweepstakes have come to a close. Reports say the free agent outfielder will sign with the Philadelphia Phillies, and they are finalizing a 13-year, $330 million contract, making Harper the highest-paid free agent in baseball history. RJ, what does Vegas say?
Well, listen, this is what Vegas, this is what we do the best. We quantify with numbers. So let's start and look and at the news, the breaking news. How have the numbers changed? And luckily, we got Brad Powers, our newsreader.
Yes. And as far as the Phillies' odds changing, the Phillies' season win total opened up 86.5 now with Bryce Harper. Phillies' season win total, how many games the Phillies are going to win this year, up from 86.5 to now 89.5. World Series odds.
Well, slow down. So 86.5 to 89.5. The first thing we got to realize is, in that original number, how much assumption was there that Bryce Harper was going? So just to give you an example, let's say that you're thinking of buying a house. And let's say that the house is going to be near this major shopping center that's anchored by an Apple store. You know, something that's just really going to be positive for the neighborhood. Well, what do investors do? They say, well, what's the value if the shopping center happens of the house? Let's just say $1 million. And what's the value if it doesn't happen? Let's just say $2 million just to... Or I'm sorry, it would be in reverse. So $2 million if it happens, $1 million if it doesn't. Now they figure out, okay, what's the percentage chance this baby's going to happen? Let's keep it simple. Say it's 50-50. Well, what would they pay for the house?
$1.5 million.
$1.5 million, because they're going to say there's a delta, a difference of $1 million in this hypothetical. There's a 50% chance it goes one way, 50% it goes the other. So the potential of that shopping center is worth $500,000 to the house. It's the same thing with betting odds. If everybody thought, for example, if it was almost like it's all over but the shouting and sign and Harper were going to the Phillies, then all of the value of Harper would have been built in yesterday. So the 86.5 to 89.5 doesn't tell you anything unless we know what was the assumptions when the 86.5 came out.
And we don't know for certain how much the books assumed the chances that Harper would go to the Phillies at that number.
You got any sense, Fez, of how much he assumed?
Probably about a one-third chance, RJ.
Okay, so what we're saying is we think at minimum Harper's worth three games, but it sounds like he's probably worth more like four games. You know, whereas that this adjustment is, okay, it happened, but there was still built in a little bit of value for Harper other than these three in that opening 86 and a half. So meaning if Harper came out and said, I'll retire before I become a Philly, then that 86 and a half probably would not have opened it there. Probably would have opened at 85 and a half.
Yes.
Okay. So does that feel right? Let's just kind of not just regurgitate the numbers, but let's ask ourselves, does it feel right that one of the best players in baseball, position player, is worth about four games? What do you think, Fez?
Feels right to me. We just saw Manny Machado go to San Diego. Their season win number went up three games from the start in San Diego.
But same issue there.
Same issue,
though.
But they
said, the same issue as in how much of the assumption that that was a place he was likely to go.
But this was a surprise that he went to San Diego versus the opening number.
Okay, so let's just say three or four games is the value of a great hitter. An obvious or a great position player, Bryce Harper, fits the bill. RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, looking at the Bryce Harper signing to the Phillies. One thing that just strikes me as a fan, and we did a little research before the show, in the early 2000s, the Mets sold, the New York Mets. I don't know if you know this, Fez, they're in New York City. And they sold for about, if you looked at the deal, about $400 million. Now, I do have a degree in finance, but I'm not a professor. Jonas, does it make sense that like 15 years ago that you could buy the Mets for about the same amount of money that Bryce Harper is going to get paid to play baseball for a team? He could have said, all right, guys, we got two choices here. Give me the 330 or give me 80% ownership in the team. I mean, I get it. It's been 15 years, but boy, oh boy, doesn't it tell us how much bigger sports is? And it's not so much that sports is that much more popular. It's just the ability of sports to monetize with streaming, with the idea that everyone's watching on DVR except for sports. Boy, this is the time to be an owner, it would seem.
Yeah, sports is the one of the few remaining live events that actually has some value in it because you've got to watch it live to know what's happening.
I mean, you put The Bachelor, I know personally, on that list.
Yeah, the Hills, The Bachelor, Very Cavallari, all that stuff, of course.
Straight out of Vegas, I'm RJ Bell. Okay, now, if the over-under in wins is 89.5, like it is now for Philadelphia, where does that put that in context of the rest of the teams? This is amazing. Right now, the Philadelphia Phillies, a team that last season was under 500, a losing team, the Phillies, are now considered by Vegas to be the sixth best team in baseball. Boy, does that seem right to you, Fez?
It does seem right.
So I'm just going to do some simple math. They won 80 games last year. We're saying that we think Harper is worth maybe four, let's say. Let's be optimistic. Four wins. All right. 80 plus four. Okay. 84. It's 84 wins. Now they're at 89.5. So explain to me, what is it about the rest of this Phillies team that there's so much optimism for?
Well, the Phillies had the division lead for most of the year last year, so that 80 and 82 record. Now, I hate to say September games would count less.
Seems like it count more.
Yeah, they probably should count more. But what happened is that the Phillies just went into a swoon for whatever reason in September, got into their mindset, and then the last couple weeks when they clearly weren't going to make the playoffs, they pretty much mailed it in. Also, they had some other key acquisitions. They got McCutchen in the outfield as well.
How much do we value him?
It's probably worth a game and a half.
Wow. So wait a minute. McCutchen is worth about half as much as Bryce Harper?
I'd say Harper's worth 3.5 or 4.
All right. So almost half as much, you're saying, for McCutchen.
Yes.
Okay.
Veteran leadership also. And here's a team that needed that veteran leadership after their collapse last year.
All right. All right. So the teams ahead, by the way, Yankees are tied for first, 96.5 wins. The Astros are tied with them. Number three, the Red Sox. Number four, the Dodgers. Number five, the Indians. And number six, the Phillies. Over, under regular season wins. And right below the Phillies, the Cardinals and the Nationals. I think Sports Illustrated's picking the Nationals to win it this year. Is Harper... I mean, if you do things on paper, we know doing things on paper versus the reality on the field and the clubhouse. Is Harper a glue guy? Is he a team guy? Because at one point he was like a young Ken Griffey Jr. type, and he had some swagger. And maybe Jonas is best to answer this question. You know, you're watching these games every game, every night. You're a grinder. How would you, when it came to contribution to the team, rate Harper?
He's always been seen as a little bit of a diva. He got in a fight with his teammate in the clubhouse, Jonathan Papelbon. There's been other issues before. Not so complimentary things about Dusty Baker after Dusty Baker left the team. So he does have sort of a little bit of a negative reputation when it comes to being more about me than he is the team.
Yeah, that's what I've always felt. And I guess the last question is, so Harper is how old?
26.
All right, so let's do the math again. He's going to be 39 years old when this is over. And baseball's contracts are fully guaranteed. You know what would be a great prop bet? Over, under Bryce Harper's weight the last year of his contract. I mean, I'm guessing he'll look like Willie Stargell, you know, before the diet is what I'm guessing. Because, I mean, think about it. Part of the motivation, we always hear, oh, it's someone's contract year, which means they're trying hard. Well, when you have a 13-year guaranteed deal.
One of the things I think you guys do a great job of explaining, and had before I worked on Straight Outta Vegas, I would have never understood the idea behind this, but you're telling people now that one of the best players in Major League Baseball who just got paid $330 million is worth about 4 wins. To anybody out there outside of you guys who know what you're talking about, we would all look at that and say, well, that seems really low for a guy who's as talented as Bryce Harper. How do you come to the conclusion that he's worth just 4 wins?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, Sabermetrics leads the way with this kind of thinking, which is value above replacement. The theory is, and we saw it with the running back replacing Gurley, a guy that was sitting on his couch, and then he steps up and seemingly is preferred over Gurley. Now, we can again talk about that conspiracy theory, but a baseball team is going to be able to, I guess it's like Major League, right? If you think about Major League, is what were they doing there? It was like guys selling used cars, tires, and it was like you can field a team of the very best guys that aren't on a team right now. In a weird way, that's what almost what like an expansion team is, except they get to draft a little bit. Now, all you can do now is add players that are incrementally better than that. And the theory is you add up all the little, okay, that guy, that third baseman is a little bit better than a replacement level guy. That's an extra half win. Now, if you go around all the position players, all the pitchers, the manager, you add it all up, you're going to have like for the very best teams. And let's just do the simple math. So when you have 162 games, 81 and 81 is break even, right? where the very best team here is the Yankees, is 96 wins. So they're saying they've got 15 extra wins than just an average team. And the worst team is going to probably be about 15 less. So now if from average to the best, Jonas, is 15 and one player adds four, he's like giving you about a third of the way to go from average to the best. Fez, is that a fair way to say it?
Yeah, absolutely. And just if Harper has like an MVP type year, he'll be worth more. He'd be worth like 6.5 wins. But if he has a down year like he had last year, he'd only be worth 2. So this is a weighted average.
Well, personally, I think him having a guaranteed 300 plus mil over 13 years will help his motivation. But again, I'm an optimist. Some would say a cockeyed optimist. When we come back, Fezzik insisted we're going to talk about Kyler Murray's hand size.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a few moments, we will get into the measurement heard around the sports world.
Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, yes, 74 degrees. The neon is coursing.
The city he invented was Las Vegas.
So, RJ, you noticed something. We were talking about the Bryce Harper contract. 13 years, $330 million to the Phillies being finalized as we speak. Manny Machado goes to the San Diego Padres on a 10-year, $300 million deal. What does that say to you about the landscape of baseball compared to, say, the NBA?
I tell you, it's fascinating. And let's make this a roundtable, guys, because, you know, when I'm talking as a sports betting expert, you know, I'm very comfortable to monologue and get my point out.
And you're in no position to challenge my expertise.
But when it comes to things like, hey, I'm a fan, what do I want? Well, I want to hear from everybody. And by the way, on Twitter, guys, at RJ in Vegas, if you have any thoughts, tweet them in and we'll read them as we go. But let's think, NBA, what's the complaint? Sick of Golden State. Nah, dominant. This season's over. Even though the math says at best they have a 70% chance, Fez, and that's being optimistic.
Exactly, yes.
So about one out of three times the Warriors are gonna lose. But the sense is year after year, this has been a historically dominant Golden State team. More dominant relative to their competition than Michael Jordan and the Bulls. This Golden State team in this era. Hard to imagine, but it's true. Now, college football. What do you hear, Brad?
Alabama and Clemson.
Oh, again?
Yep. 4 years in a row.
All right, so to some degree, we've got, we don't really want that one super dominant team, Golden State. To another degree, it's like, well, we don't want there to be like Ollie Frey. Because to me, you would think, you know, one of my favorite movies, and I think it's one of the most it's crazy to say it's underrated because it's probably considered a top 30 movie of all time. But I think it's underrated. Raging Bull. I think it's Scorsese's best. Love it. And there's, Jake LaMotta, and he's fighting Sugar Ray Robinson. There's a great, they fought, I think, like 9 times. But they didn't depict everyone in the movie. But it was like, you know, maybe the fifth or sixth time they had fought in the movie and they were announcing and the bell rang and it said, it's the 13th round. It's the hard luck round. And the announcer goes, and you know the boys. It's like these guys have been fighting since as long as you can remember and we're still here. We're still loving it. To me, I mean, I've often thought how great would it have been if Mayweather would have fought Pacquiao 5 times. Like, no matter who, if it would have been 3-2 one way or 3-2 the other, it would, both would have went down in history so much better regarded than the way that it happened, I think. I love Clemson, Alabama, but most people don't. So now the other end of the spectrum is parity. Now, in theory, that's the NFL, though the Patriots, in a way, the genius is the only one. Belichick has found a way around that. But imagine if the team, the years the Patriots made the Super Bowl, imagine the team they beat in the conference finals made it. Well, imagine if the Patriots had lost every conference final that they won. If you would look at the Super Bowl matchups there, the Steelers would have never made. I mean, it's maybe Pittsburgh would have made one more. Because they did lose two of them in the conference finals a couple years ago. But like you're looking at like the Steelers would have made like three Super Bowls this century or maybe four. And then who would have been more than that? It would have been almost true parity other than the Patriots. Now, people love the NFL the most. So it strikes me, you would say, well, then that's the answer. Parity rules. But imagine in baseball, when you've got Kansas City, you know, going against some other team that's not New York, that's not Boston, that's not LA. And what do you get? A lot of shrugging.
Mm-hmm.
Now, opening this to the round table, I will caveat one thing. I think the helmets are the change here. Meaning, I think in football, you root for laundry. You root for the uniforms a lot more than any other sport.
Agree.
Because you don't even know what... I mean, think about... There's probably your fifth, sixth, seventh favorite player. You don't even quite know what he looks like in the NFL. You know, but you don't really know. So I think it's easier to get excited. You know, think about a team like Carolina when they went on their run. And people forget Cam had an MVP season. They remember that. Legitimately an MVP season. But they forget how well Carolina was playing. They dominated the playoffs pre-Super Bowl. Like as much as any team. If Carolina would have won the Super Bowl convincingly, they would have had one of the five best seasons in history. Because they were, 15-1 in the regular season?
Same as the 85 Bears.
And it was but they had just as much domination until that final game. We were all excited about Carolina, but who knew anything about Carolina other than Cam before that season? So I think in football, parity works. In baseball, the idea that a Bryce Harper's going to the Phillies, not a classically like big-time team. I know Philadelphia loves them. The idea that Machado's going to the Padres, it feels like that the money now is drawing the stars away from New York, L.A., Chicago. And my question is, what matchups are going to excite anybody? Open it up to discussion.
I think that for a season that's 162 games long, there's more teams you get excited to go see if they're coming to your town. You may not have been excited about seeing Philadelphia or San Diego before, but now they've got Bryce Harper and now they've got Manny Machado, so that's enticing enough. Now, what it does in the playoffs, does it create rivalries?
Hold on.
I don't know.
Hold on. You're saying something interesting. So you're saying if you live in a town with a team and you're a fan of the team, so I grew up around Pittsburgh, but I was an hour away, so it would have been a big deal to go to, I went to a few games as a kid. You're saying you're 10 minutes away. Oh, look, Machado's coming to town. Maybe I'll go to this game. So you're saying it helps road attendance, and I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
But what percentage is road attendance of baseball's revenue? So then you were going on.
No, I don't know that it does anything for rivalries. It's not going to create these super team rivalries. Like, you know, Red Sox and Yankees are always going to be there. So that's where I think it gets tricky. Because in the postseason, there's no guarantees that Machado or Harper are going to be there. In fact, I would probably bet that they probably wouldn't make the postseason. So then it becomes tricky. But I think during the regular season, it helps.
Yeah, I'm trying to close my eyes and think, what's the matchup that doesn't involve the Yankees? And by the way, the Yankees can't play the Red Sox in the World Series. Like, what is the NL team that excites anyone right now?
I mean, it was the Cubs a couple years
ago. Yeah, I agree. And, yeah. and still, there's enough. Yeah. That's a good answer. I mean, there's enough legacy there. So if it's not, because you would think Boston and L.A. last year would have been one of the five dream matchups.
Yep.
And did it feel like that?
No.
But maybe this whole discussion goes back to contraction, which will never happen financially, is if we had 24 teams in each league instead of 30 or 32, how much better off it would be. It feels like now, because of technology, because no matter where you are, you can be on TV. Both your games are on TV with the ticket, with whatever league you're in, we're talking about, with an Instagram live stream, whatever you're doing, you can be pretty much anywhere and be famous, internet famous. Whereas 20 years ago, you had to be in a handful. You know, it was like Shaq. He didn't want to be in Orlando.
Good call.
I'm going to L.A., baby. And LeBron did it, yeah. But, boy, the percentages of people. Now, if you don't live in L.A. or New York, you're thinking, yay for the small town. Yeah, but if you dilute the talent all across the league, then where's the monster matchups? But then on the other hand, when you get out Golden State, everyone's complaining. Maybe our conclusion here is people complain. Could that maybe just be it?
I think that's it.
I think we just put a period on that one.
And I think we got to be happy that San Diego has some reason for people to watch their games.
Except, I was listening to Colin do an interview with Daryl Morey, and they asked him a question about small markets, how it'd be a big disadvantage. And Colin goes, "What do you think about that?" And Morey goes, "Well, I don't have a small market team." So, Fez, I don't live in San Diego. In just 1 minute, we're actually going to talk about Bryce Harper's hand size and how much Zion is worth to Duke.
That's coming up next. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, Steve DeSager.
Tons of NBA to get to in a moment. The Phillies will sign free agent outfielder Bryce Harper, 13 years, a record $330 million with no opt-outs in the deal, and there is a no-trade clause. He is 26 years old. Tight end Jason Witten is returning to play for the Cowboys on a one-year contract to play about 25 snaps per game, according to the Star-Telegram. He spent last season in the Monday Night Football booth. At the Combine, Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray measured at about 5'10" tall. As for the other QBs in this year's draft, at about 6'3½", 230, were Ohio State's Dwayne Haskins and Missouri's Drew Locke. New England owner Robert Kraft pleaded not guilty to solicitation charges in Florida. His attorneys requested a non-jury trial. Next court date, March 27th. County documents in Florida say Kraft visited the massage parlor twice in 24 hours, arriving in a chauffeured Bentley January 20th, the morning of the AFC Championship. Three basketball refs in Wisconsin filed complaints against ex-Green Bay Packer head coach Mike McCarthy. He followed the refs out after a game, arguing after his stepson's one-point loss. Jonathan Vega leads the Honda Classic by two after a first-round 64. Six NBA games, including at the top of the hour. Indiana hosting Minnesota. Pacers guard Tyreek Evans out due to illness. Also at the top of the hour, Golden State at Orlando. Kevin Durant out tonight for rest. And the Warriors' Andre Iguodala out due to illness. Orlando and Miami each a half game out of the final playoff spot in the East behind Charlotte. It's a battle between the two worst teams in the East at 7:30 Eastern. Cleveland at New York. New York center DeAndre Jordan out with a sprained ankle. Houston hosting Miami, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Heat center Hassan Whiteside out with a strained hip. Kenneth Faried of Houston doubtful with a bruised hip. Philadelphia at Oklahoma City, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Paul George out for the Thunder with a sore shoulder. Joel Embiid of the Sixers still out with a sore knee. The late game Utah at Denver. Ricky Rubio of the Jazz out with a tight hamstring. And there's college hoops on FS1, 11 p.m. Eastern time. Number 25, Washington at Cal. The Huskies can clinch first place in the Pac-12. Guys, back to you.
Thanks, Steve. Straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will take a look ahead at the doubleheader in the NBA on TNT. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
You know, it's interesting when people miss things, it tells you something about them. And when they catch things, it tells you something about them. So when I was teasing to the news, Jonas, I accidentally said, yeah, we'll finally get to Bryce Harper's hand size. but it, you know, it was supposed to be Kyler Murray. Fez just almost jumped out of his seat. He said, no, no, no. We don't care about Bryce Harper's hand size. But then he said, though we could discuss his hair. Now, true or not, you said that, Fez?
I did.
And then it's like, but what we really care about is Kyler Murray's hand size. So
I love Jimmy G.
I mean, Fez is on top of all this, if anyone's worried when it comes to those matters.
Guy, well, speaking of the hand size that Fez is referring to and very interested in, Kyler Murray was measured at the NFL Draft Combine in Indianapolis earlier today. He height was a little over 5'10", weighing about 207 pounds, right around where Russell Wilson was at his combine a few years back. So, RJ, what is Vegas' take on the Kyler Murray measurements that Steve Fezzik was all over?
Well, I got to tell you, another example where the odds tell the story, and we've got the odds.
First off, an upset that Kyler Murray measured at 5'10". Over-under was 5'10". The over was plus 200, 2-1 on that. That was a little bit of a surprise.
Talk about a bet. You know, the question I get more than anything during Super Bowl week is, wait a minute, RJ, you're telling me that you can bet on the length of the national anthem? Why doesn't so-and-so bet $50 million on it and just sing it really slowly? But the limits are low on these kind of bets. But I think Kyler would have had a little – that's true inside information.
Exactly. But more importantly, Kyler Murray's draft position. So his draft position, Kyler Murray, 9.5. So he's either going to be taken in the first 9 picks of it, of the draft, or after 9,
so it's over under 9.5. So another way to think of it, is it better? Is it 9 or better, 10 or worse?
And the under was minus 175. What does under mean? Earlier. So the first 9 picks of the draft.
Yeah. So what happened was, if you look at 9.5 as that point, is it going to be before or after? Initially, when the prop came out, it was about 50-50.
Yep.
So about half the people said it's going to be first 9 picks. And when I say said, they bet. That was their voice. And half the people said 10th pick or after. Now, in the couple weeks since that went up, seemed to be a nice sentiment movement positive to Murray. A lot of talk about, you know, maybe size doesn't matter as much at this point, blah, blah, blah. And as of even yesterday, the math said 63% chance he's in the first 9 picks. So initially 50% in the first 9 picks, Kyler Murray, goes to 63. Now with the news of his size, Fez, is 75% chance he's going to go in the top 9 picks. So it went from 50 to 75 for Kyler Murray in the top 9 picks in literally the last couple of weeks. So a lot of optimism in regards to his, Kyler Murray's draft position.
Guys, Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by Maaco. You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund, but you can make your car feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Maaco today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales event. College basketball, RJ, the number 3 Duke Blue Devils coming off a loss to Virginia Tech last game out, will be taking on Miami this weekend. Still waiting word as to what the future of Zion Williamson will be. Where do you stand on the Zion situation at Duke?
You know, boy, we got so much to talk about now, right? We got a 7 o'clock game. Why don't we do that first? Let's do a quick handicap on the 7 o'clock so people have time to act on it. And then we'll come back, talk about Zion. And I've actually got a little more on Kyler Murray. So, Brad, give us that 7 o'clock handicap.
Yeah, so Nebraska is at Michigan coming up here. Michigan's right around an 11.5-point favorite. My lean on this game is to take Nebraska.
So it's a lean, not a like.
Lean, not a like. Lean Nebraska plus 11.5. And it's more of a fade against Michigan. A Michigan team that's struggling to score. So in Michigan's last 11 games, the Wolverines are averaging 65 points per game. What does that mean? Where would that rank? If you'd average that out through the course of the season, 65 points per game, Michigan would have the number 327 offense in America. And I'm sorry, I don't want to be laying double digits with a team that's having trouble extending margin by scoring on offense. That's why I lean Nebraska plus 11.5.
But you got to wonder the other side, if a team's not scoring a lot and they're playing a team they're much better than and they get a nice lead, aren't they going to want to, you know, stretch their legs a little bit?
They might. It's possible, but Michigan hasn't been doing it here as of late, RJ.
So, but when you're given that kind of haughty voice, like, well, they might, wink, wink, but I know more than you. You're not betting this game. You're just leaning.
No, it's just a lean.
So you have that much haughtiness even when it's a lean. I mean, when it's a like.
That, you know, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, guys, when we come back, we're going to give you the other games on TV tonight that matter. A little more Kyler Murray. And also, how much is Zion really worth?
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. And this is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. We have a doubleheader in the NBA on TNT. They tip off at 8 Eastern time. The Thunder are hosting the 76ers. Right now, OKC on pregame.com is a 4-point favorite.
Steve Fezzik, NBA expert.
I like Oklahoma City, -4. Embiid is out.
So you like him means you bet him.
I bet them, -4. And Embiid is really important to Philadelphia. How important? Well, the last six games without Embiid, 76ers, 0-6 against the spread, 1-5 straight up. Now, that 0-6.
Let's keep in mind, 0-6 against the spread, a novice listener might say, well, yeah, of course they're no good without him. The market adjusts for Embiid, but apparently not enough.
Yes, and I don't think they adjusted tonight because the big man for Philly, the backup big man, Boban, is out as well for Philadelphia. And frankly, Philly, just for whatever reason, struggles against Oklahoma City.
Hold on. We're talking about a bunch of things here. So you're making a fascinating point. The value of any player is relative. The old joke is, how much was Joe Montana worth? Half a point. When Steve Young was his backup. So you're saying Embiid out and his backup is out. So how big of a drop is it to the third stringer?
The third stringer is below replacement level. So big drop off.
All right. Also, there's a history here with these teams.
Yeah, the last 19 times these teams have played, RJ, Oklahoma City is 19-0, straight up 14-5 against the spread.
Now, let me get this straight, though. I have a math minor, not a major. They play twice a season, right?
Yep.
So is this probably, like, are you trying to sneak in, like, the worst trend of the month and see if anyone complains?
Well, a 19-0, I got to go ahead and throw it out there.
What possibly could be the reason that when these teams play twice a year over the last decade, that one of them's winning all the games?
Well, obviously the last couple years is much more relevant than what happened back in
2011. But if we only looked at the last couple, it would be 4-0 and we wouldn't be talking about
it. No, it's still not insignificant completely.
I don't know.
Guys, after they go final in Oklahoma City, it is the Jazz at the Nuggets. And right now, Denver is a 7-point favorite on pregame.com.
Fez is going to give us one that says, if it's a left-handed foul shooter and the game starts after 8 p.m. and the referee has red hair, they're 28-0. Am I correct?
No.
Okay.
I lean to Denver here. It's a bad spot for Utah. Utah just had to play in altitude last night. They beat the Clippers. Now they have to play a back-to-back game traveling into altitude. Normally, I would bet on Denver in this situation. However, it's just a lean because if any team can handle a back-to-back in altitude, it likely would be Utah. So just a lean to Denver.
Okay, so the team played where last night?
Utah was at home last night.
Okay.
And now they had to fly into Denver, and they're playing in Denver.
Okay. So if you're an altitude team, that's an interesting question I've never thought of. If you're an altitude team yourself, obviously you're relatively better suited to deal with it than your opponent, but does it still take more out of you? So if Utah plays a game at sea level in scenario A, then they play a game at altitude in scenario B, are they more tired after the game at altitude, even though they're so used to altitude?
I think it'd be worse to have to play back-to-back games in altitude.
Where did you get your MD at?
I haven't achieved it yet.
Okay.
Guys, we will get to a crosstown rival in college hoops. But before we do so, I want to let you know we are brought to you by Mako. You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund before, but you can make your car feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Mako today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales event. It is USC at UCLA in college hoops tonight. And right now, the Bruins are a four-point favorite.
Brad Powers, all the college knowledge, also does not have an MD.
No, I do not. So we lean on this one on UCLA minus four, not a like. So if you're going to bet it, kind of a pizza bet, UCLA minus four. Here's what I see from both these teams. It's kind of tough to bet either team this year. Both teams extremely disappointing, wildly inconsistent. UCLA has an interim coach. Looked like their season was over with. Nothing good happening with UCLA. And then last week happened. UCLA got a big home win over Oregon State. Then UCLA's down 19 to Oregon at halftime. Season's over, folks. It's all over. And what does UCLA do? They come back, rally, and win. That seems to be a turning point for this Bruins team, who also has revenge against USC from earlier this year. Bruins at home as a lean minus four.
Why not a like?
Because the market has bet this UCLA team up like a point and a half already, 2 points.
You mean from the opener?
From the opener.
So yep. At the opener, you would have bet this?
Yes, I would have.
Okay. And guys, you know, I get this all the time. It's like, why are you so hard on Fezzik? Why are you so hard on Brad? It's because we know that there's literally hundreds of thousands of people listening right now who are, some of them, many of them, half of them, are betting money on this stuff. So this is like a peer review. If it doesn't make sense to me, I'm going to say it. If it doesn't make sense to Fez, he's going to say it. So you know if we agree for real. And when Fez says something crazy, I'm going to point it out. And it's not for me. I'm pointing it out for you.
The Odd Couple is next here on Fox Sports Radio. We are straight out of Vegas. The craziness continues back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.